Dit is SBS Dutch.
Jesse, how did you end up in the Netherlands?
Well, Jesse, my fiance, is Dutch, so we were living in London. We met each other about 5.5 years ago in London, and we're living there. And then during the first lockdown in London in March 2020, we kind of started thinking about moving over to the Netherlands because London was extremely, like, it was in a very bad place for COVID, wasn't it? Yeah. And also at that time, we had a flat here we were staying in probably like once a month and coming back and forth and seeing Jesse's mom and sister who were living in the Netherlands. And we realized that we wouldn't be able to come and see them for quite a long time, maybe even up to a year if COVID kept going. So we thought it would be a good idea for us just to pack up London and come over as soon as we could. So once there was a kind of a break in the clouds, quarantine speaking, we packed up everything and moved over in like 3 weeks notice, basically.
Oh, wow. And how did you experience COVID in the Netherlands? Because it has been a bit harsh over there too.
Yeah, it's been really tough, especially Christmas last year. Like, my best friend is Australian. I've known him since I was 12. And he's over in London. And obviously, I wanted to go back home to Australia, and we'd been trying. I think we'd booked like 3 sets of tickets, and all of them had been cancelled at that point. So we just couldn't get back. And we made the decision when my 3rd set of tickets got cancelled, and I realized I wasn't going to make it home in time for one of my best friend's weddings or Christmas, that we would just stay in the Netherlands and then do Christmas when things got better in Australia, or like when things got better in Europe, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then on the 18th of December or somewhere around that, Rutte announced a snap lockdown that meant nobody could come in or out of the Netherlands who wasn't a Dutch resident, and the UK was very, very difficult to get in or out of. So my best friend couldn't come over from London, and it kind of, I mean, it sounds like such a small problem in the grand scheme of things, but after having your tickets back home cancelled so frequently and your family kind of getting further and further away in time, that was a really difficult period for me, at least. It made Christmas pretty sad. Actually, Jesse woke up on Christmas Day and was like, let's play Christmas carols. And I was like, I don't want any Christmas carols. Christmas is cancelled. It's over. I don't want it. And then the lockdown just lasted for 5 months. We like,
I know, not really snappy, yeah?
No, it was just long. And, you know, Dutch winters. There was a really nice time when the canals froze over. That was good. That was
yeah, magical. I remember that.
But everything else was pretty grim.
So you've been trying to come home to Australia for over a year now.
April 2020 was my first set of tickets I had booked, and I haven't been able to come home. Nothing's worked.
And why do you want to come home? Is it just for a quick visit, or do you want to stay here for a while? Or?
Well, I mean, it's changed a lot, obviously. At the beginning, when I first wanted to come home, it was just for a quick visit. And then we realized that was going to be difficult. So we made the decision to let's go home for like a full month, a bit longer than a month. And then one of my best friends was getting married, and I was meant to be her maid of honor. So we were like, okay, well, let's go home for that and Christmas. So like 6 weeks. So it's kind of gotten longer and longer every time to try and justify basically the prices and the quarantine, and it just hasn't worked out for us. But we have got more tickets booked now towards the end of the year. We've actually got 4 sets of tickets booked now, hoping that one of them goes through, and it looks like maybe one will.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, every time you book a ticket, it got cancelled. How do they let you know? Is it just an email like, sorry, got cancelled? That's it?
Yeah, literally, like sometimes it's even like less than a week before the flight, you get an email that just says, unfortunately, your ticket's been cancelled due to the flight caps in Australia.
Yeah. Is the embassy, the Australian embassy, any helpful, or can they do nothing about this?
Oh, sorry. I laugh because they just don't do anything. They just don't. I mean, they just tell you to get a DFAT flight, right? To get these repatriation flights. And I think there's this, I don't know where it's come from, but this, maybe it's just from optimism, this belief that there's some kind of queue working for those DFAT flights. Like there's some kind of like process, or there's a calendar you can see when they are and plan accordingly, or, you know, apply for tickets on them. But actually what you do is you apply to this portal, you put your details into the other comments box, and then you may or may not get an email about a flight that flies from either London or Frankfurt. So you still need to get to one of those two cities. And the tickets are like, they're subsidized, but they're so only subsidized for the airline. So Australians are still paying $9,000 a ticket to get on these flights.
One way.
One way. I mean, our tickets that we've paid for, we've got two sets of tickets that cost us $20,000 Australian one way.
Mm-hmm. And then they get cancelled. And you did it five times. That costs a lot of money. Because they probably get more and more expensive as well because the gaps are...
Yeah, I mean, we've probably spent close to $70,000 Australian at this point.
How frustrated are you? And I mean, you're probably not the only one in the Netherlands, stuck in the Netherlands. I mean, I know that a lot of listeners are thinking, oh, I wish I could go to the Netherlands, but that's, of course, the other way around. We have the same problems here. We can't go. If someone is gravely ill in the Netherlands, it's hard to get there and maybe say even goodbye and see someone for the last time. How frustrating is this?
I mean, I think it's frustrating for both sides. Like, I don't think one party has it worse than the other, to be honest. Like, being separated from people that you love, like, we aren't the only couple in the world, obviously, that is international. Like, so many people's families are separated at the moment. Like, Australia is famously a multicultural society. 20% of Australians are dual citizens. And the fact that so many people are either in Australia aren't able to get to loved ones overseas, or their businesses overseas, or whatever it happens to be, the same is true for Australians overseas trying to get back in. And I think it's just as frustrating for both sides, who are feeling this kind of artificial separation, or like, it doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. I think that's the main thing, especially because so many people, like, the Netherlands is really well vaccinated now. You know, we've already had coronavirus. We've already had the vaccinations. We're happy to do the quarantine again, like all these things. And yet still it's like an almost impossible task.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you feel a bit helpless, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even now they announced, they did not even announce it, but we found out that they changed the rules.
Mm.
You heard about that one.
Yeah.
So now I should go to the Dutch, Jesse. Yes, sir. How is it for you? Because if you succeed to come to Australia, it might take some while to come back to the Netherlands.
Yeah, it was, in one way, it was a little bit of a shock. Like, oh no, is this going to continue? And we're going to have the same situation in, a few months, hopefully. But at this point, I think it's so much more important to be in Australia that I'm less worried about that. I'm sure that we'll manage to work it out. It's like the time we haven't seen Jessica's family is just taking longer and longer. And I have had the blessing to spend a lot of time close to my family in Amsterdam. So in that sense, I feel prepared to face any additional difficulties with these new changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're successful in December, for example, then you have a nice time of the year here in Australia.
Yeah.
It's just a waiting game now. Just go on with your life in Amsterdam as good as you can and just enjoy your time there and just hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly. We're just kind of patiently, I've had to delete Facebook and Twitter and everything off my phone because I just can't handle the anxiety of looking at everything every day.
Mm.
Yeah, she became really frantic and just trying to get some grip on the situation and to find a way to get there. But at some point, that effort makes you feel even worse that you, it's a constant stream of disappointment and futility of your action. So it did help that now we feel like we've tried everything we could and it makes the waiting more justified. It's not like we're leaving something on the table.
Yeah.
And what's your feeling towards your home country now, Jessica?
I don't, it's hard for me to recognize the Australia that I feel really emotional. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
It's hard for me to recognize the Australia I grew up in the way that they're treating people at the moment. I feel obviously personally quite frustrated, but I feel pretty ashamed to watch the amount of people that I know and that I love struggle right now. And, you know, not just people in my kind of situation or the situation in Australia trying to get out, but people struggling to pay their bills and these snap lockdowns and people struggling with their mental health in double quarantine because of, you know, kind of arbitrary rules. It just doesn't feel like the place that I knew Australia to be. It's really hard to convince Jesse to try and love Australia at the moment. And I just wish that, you know, someone could do better for the people that are really suffering through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have like groups that you come together with Australians in the Netherlands and talk about this so you can support each other?
Yeah, I actually saw two Australian girls that I know here on Friday, and it's tough because we all have a similar story right now. Like, one of my friend's dads really tragically passed away last year, and she came home for the funeral, was given a special exemption to get in and get out. But she missed everything because of quarantine, and that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's had some other personal things this year and has had to kind of watch from overseas knowing she can't get in or out. Another girl has a brother and it's flown over, and he's had to do double quarantine in South Australia because the health declaration rules changed while he was in there. So he's still in quarantine now and really suffering with his mental health because it's been a month in a room with no opening windows. It's really tough, and it's hard to pick between, you know, your own mental health and seeing my parents and our house deposit, which we're like rapidly spending on tickets to a country that usually would have cost us maybe €1,000. But you aren't really left with much options. Your only choices are to pick between kind of a rock and a hard place, I think,
mm-hmm.
And stay as positive as you can. But I've had to leave a lot of the groups actually on Facebook and things. I just couldn't stomach hearing the stories every day.
Mm-hmm. So many people in such a sad situation.
Yeah. And I think also people kind of laying into each other. There was a person who was talking about, you know, he was Dutch. He went over to Australia for a couple of months to stay with some family, and he decided it wasn't for him. So he came back, and he was talking about in one of these Facebook groups about how he saw that, you know, the grass isn't always greener. Bless him. I think he was pretty naive on like the reasons why some people wanted to get home, but talking about how the grass isn't always greener and, you know, the Netherlands is doing really well and it's so nice to see everyone out and going to cafes and getting vaccinated, and made him feel really happy. And all these people laid into this poor kid, just, you know, telling him how ignorant he was and stupid and that wasn't the reason. But, you know, it feels like kind of fish in a barrel at the moment. Everyone feels just angry at something, that it's kind of getting to be less and less of a nice environment in those groups, because the people that are left in there are more and more the people that are in desperate situations, because the people who have the money and the means to get out are leaving those groups because they don't need to be in there anymore. It's making them quite toxic, I think. So I've had to back away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But people get more and more frustrated, of course. I mean, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. So
yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really hope that you will be successful and that you will be here in Australia by the end of this year. I wish you all the best. Stay safe in the Netherlands.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.